You're listening to the Family Discipleship Podcast, a podcast of training the church.
The reason it says the wicked flees when no one pursues is the idea is that, like, if I did something wrong, I have to be always looking over my shoulder. Versus if I do the right thing, even if it doesn't go well for me, I can go, well, that's okay. I'm bold, and that's what the Lord asked me to do.
We're not responsible for saving anybody. We're not responsible for doing the work that the Holy Spirit does. But we can be unafraid, unabashed, unwavering, unwilling to bow down and look everywhere for God to open doors for the Word.
And just think about, like, sometimes being bold looks like choosing to rest and have Sabbath and have peace and not be frenetic. It feels counterintuitive because it's like being bold, but it's also being at peace.
Welcome to the Family Discipleship Podcast. This is Adam Griffin, and I'm here as usual with my two amazing co-hosts. First, Miss Cassie Bryant. How you doing today, Cassie?
I'm doing great.
Good. Just great.
Feeling bold.
Oh, good. Feeling bold. You seem bold.
In italics.
In italics.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was thinking font.
You're thinking, okay, great. And of course, here to my left, but always the woman who's right, my wife, Chelsea Griffin. How are you doing, Chelsea? How are you doing today, Chelsea?
I'm good. That was clever.
Was it? It just kind of came out of my
On your
brain.
Left, but always right. Yeah, it seems spontaneous.
I wonder if we could get Brad to do like a series of clips of Adam's like puns, dad jokes.
No, you don't
like
want all. Those.
Yeah. I do want them,
if we
actually
can put that together with like a series of clips of your like, what day of the week is it and what food are you eating?
Oh, okay. Okay.
People need to know.
No, it wasn't a dig. I would think it'd be fun to listen to.
Oh, I wasn't digging either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're all friends.
Yeah.
No digs.
Yeah,
here.
Everyone's okay.
Chelsea has told me when preparing my sermons not to plan anything funny, and that's the only way I can be funny is if it's unplanned. I don't have any like planned jokes or anything like
that.
And
I think that's worked out good.
I think it's been helpful.
I think our congregation really likes it when you like to talk in a little voice.
You know what I did? You weren't there today because you were working, but there were two things today I need to share with you that I thought were both spontaneous and I thought you would have appreciated.
Oh,
one
man.
One in each service, but anyway.
Later.
Later, off air, I'll fill you in. It's the Lord's work. All right.
We need more off air time, you and me.
We need to record more of our conversations, I think. Don't you think?
Okay, guys, out. I'll babysit. Go on a date.
All right. Well, today's episode, we're back in Vices and Virtues again this week. And this week we are talking about
Boldness.
That's right. Well done, guys. That was also spontaneous.
It was really emphasized.
Good. And emphasized.
Yeah. Underline it. Bold.
We're talking about being bold. So today, boldness, we're doing our usual formula of, we're going to talk a little bit about our struggles, talk about struggles, talk about strengths, then talk about scripture, and then so what. But this is a special episode for me personally because, hey guys, I don't know if you're aware of this.
Do you have a book coming out?
I have a book that is coming out. Yes.
What is it called?
It is called The Boy Who Was Bold.
Whoa.
The Boy Who Was Bold, and it comes out October 17th. So if you're listening to this episode on the day this episode comes out, it is almost release day for The Boy Who Was Bold.
Can you pre-order it?
You can pre-order it, even
so
if it's the day ahead. In fact, you know what? If it's coming out the day after this podcast comes out, chances are you're going to get it just as soon as you would if you ordered it once it releases. But yeah, it's coming from B&H Kids, and I'm really, really pumped about it. I think it's going to be awesome.
It's so, autobiographical, right?
No, well... No, it's not.
I was going to say,
are you being serious?
Who is the boy?
No, I want to know what it's about.
I know
it's
Cassie
not about
has
you.
Not read it. She has not looked at it, but no, it is not autobiographical. It's a book about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It really comes from two things that were kind of the root of why I wanted to write the book. One, you know, a lot of my ideas come to me when we're on a road trip because I just have so much time to think as we're staring out windows and driving long distances. But I was thinking about this, how I couldn't think of a children's book that I'd ever seen that was about the one story we have of Jesus when he was a kid. The one story we have where he was in the temple. And then the other thing that popped in my head is I can't think of any stories. This is something we talked about frequently on the podcast. Any kid's book that helps parents teach their kids that in order to follow Jesus, you have to be ready to be different than the crowd. And so much even within Christianity, within the church, is trying to help kids see that, like, no, Christianity is cool and following Jesus is cool. And it's the cool thing to do, to go to youth group, and it's cool. We'll hire somebody cool to lead it. And the truth is, the Bible never teaches, hey, following Jesus is going to make you cool or be cool. In fact, it's quite the opposite. Jesus promises that you're going to be different than the world, and that there's going to be people in the world that do not like you because of the Lord you follow. And so I thought, man, how can I write a book that's going to help parents have that conversation with kids? And those two things bridged together, and we wrote a book about how Jesus, when he was a kid, he was bold. He was willing to do things that other kids weren't doing and be somewhere even without his parents and follow the Lord to do it, and then grew up to be a very bold man. But yeah, I just talked a lot about it, but I'm excited about it.
I love it.
Thanks. It's
what are you going to do with all that money that it makes?
First, I'm going to put it in a bin and I'm going to roll around in it. No, thanks for asking, Chelsea. 100%. The reason I don't feel icky at all about promoting this book, listeners, is 100% of the money we have made and will make off this book is going to Eastside Community Church to help us make the desperately needed upgrades to our kind of kids ministry areas, as well as other areas in the building. And so this is one of the Griffin family's creative contributions to our building improvement plan we have going on right now.
I love it.
At Eastside.
So buy five copies give them away at Christmas.
Yeah, we're trying to raise $2 million right now. So if you want to buy, two million copies, that'd be really helpful.
They don't cost a dollar.
That's a good point, but I don't, anyway. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a great, I'm really happy with the way the project has gone, and I'm really happy it's going to serve a good cause.
Yeah, I think it turned out great, and the artwork is beautiful. It's very pleasing to look at.
So good. The artist really did a great job. It kind of, it starts with Jesus as a kid, then you have him growing up and to be a man, and then it, you know, teaches the gospel story, and then shows, Cassie, I know you haven't seen this, but it shows what it means for our kids, basically, to be bold in a world where that's very dark, and it very much needs light. And there's so many verses about it. We just chose a few, and we can talk about more on this episode here, but just to shine like stars in a dark and twisted generation. And that's what I desperately want for our kids. In fact, I was talking to Eastside this week at our family retreat for our church about how I just want us to be so much more committed to being willing and really targeting, like aiming at raising weirder kids.
Yeah.
Like, I want our kids ready to be weird in this culture. And that sounds so strange, but that's what I want. I want us ready to say, like, if the rest of the world looks at the decisions we make as a family and says, well, that's super weird, go, okay, yeah, that was the goal. There are a lot of things we're going to do different when it comes to social media or dating. And, you know, we had a lot of these conversations last fall, I think, when we had the countercultural season, but that's the idea. I'd love to help parents have that conversation.
Yeah. Okay, so then how would we define bold? What does it mean to be bold?
Well, I think boldness, to me, I'd love to hear what you guys think, but boldness involves a couple things. One is courage. It is about bravery. It's about being willing to do something that maybe is overcoming fear, but it's also about kind of casting aside social norms. It's about saying, I'm willing or even eager to be a little bit different than what other people expect or are doing. It's a nonconformist in some way, which we'd take maybe Paul's conversation with the Romans in Romans 12, where he says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That takes boldness to say, I'm not going to conform to the patterns of this world. It's swimming upstream. And that means both, like, the current swimming upstream is the picture of, this is going to be harder because everything's working against me and I'm going a different direction than everybody else probably is. Well, let me bridge that back to a question to you guys. Now that we've defined boldness a little bit, where is it a struggle for you? Think about this both as a parent making decisions for your family, but maybe also for on behalf of your kids when you think about developing in them kind of a Christian courage, a Christian confidence, as well as a willingness to do things a little bit differently than other families are doing or what your kids are doing. What comes to mind for y'all?
Eric and I were talking about this, and I think that what we find challenging is that so much of boldness kind of plays itself out in some of the grayer spaces, I think, of our faith. And it relies a lot on discernment and the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so I think what can be challenging is what we feel like is bold for us to do and for obedience for the Bryant family might not be the same thing that is bold for a different family, either in our community or our church or in our city or whatever. And so, I mean, there's a lot of very explicit commands in Scripture.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of, like, areas of life where we're trying to walk in wisdom. And God doesn't call everyone to the same task. And right. so I think that the challenging part is discerning where we're supposed to be bold and where we're being called to go that would be countercultural, and then keeping ourselves from judgment or, you know, assuming, let's assume the best for, so like if the Griffins are called to something different than the Bryants, then we're not going to assume we're doing the wrong things,
right?
But we're both being led by the Spirit just in different spaces,
right.
you know?
Right, like maintaining your convictions.
Yes.
And then having like a very charitable heart.
Yes.
Towards everyone else. Yep. Like you said, where it's like, well, we're sticking to this. I have this like, just a fear sometimes of, I want to like comfort everyone that feels judged.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know, school choices are a place where people feel totally. So much contention, which we've talked about this before, how it's bizarre, how like everyone can accept that we're all called to different jobs a lot of times. And people are like, that's great. Do you? And then if one family feels like, okay, I think we're called to be in this public school. And another family is like, we feel the Lord pressing us to Christian education. And then somehow the families are like enemies now. And you're like, wait, right. what? Wait, what? No, right. we probably need some of us to go here and some of us to go there, the same way we've seen the Lord move the gospel and move right. the church. But yeah, I fear sometimes where I'm going, I'm just trying to be faithful in my heart towards the Lord. And then I'm worried that it makes somebody feel judged.
Yeah.
So that feels tricky.
I think it's because we look to other people for, we're doing the right thing, right? And then when someone does something different, like sometimes we do that, we're like measuring ourselves or we're looking to others for affirmation rather than just trusting like this is what we're called to do. And that could change and that's okay. But
so do you have any, think of like a concrete example, like where being bold would be really difficult. I know that you're saying like in the realm of choices and school choices in particular, but how about for you personally? Because I don't think that is a struggle for you, Chelsea. You don't think other people's school choices reflect on you.
No,
right? No.
I'm saying like when we have a conviction, I have this tendency to want to make sure that people who don't do the same thing are making the same choice. Like our kid doesn't have the same type of access to technology that kids in his grade do.
Right.
And I'm not here to say anything about them.
Right.
Right. But we're not on it on a handful of these things that like, you know, peers and classmates do. And it's, okay, well, our kid doesn't do that. There isn't any judgment, but that's my conviction that's what I should do for my son.
Don't you? I don't know if you deal with this though. Even the decisions we make, sometimes I second guess in my head, like, is this the right time to make that decision or the right time to have that conversation? And so where boldness maybe would be a struggle for me in the concrete sense, in the very real sense, would be that I see other people making different decisions and I kind of feel bad or I second guess or I feel doubt around around the decisions we've made.
Mm-hmm.
So while I would like to say like, well, it's boldness, we're being different, it actually feels like a timid countercultural decision.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I'm sorry, everyone.
Yes. Like, I'm very sorry we're parenting differently. So like maybe a concrete example would be a lot of other families have made different decisions than we have about sleepovers, right? And so we have, our own kind of rules we walk through and thoughts we have about overnight retreats and overnight camps and sleepovers. And we can walk through all that maybe at another time, at an episode that's more specific to that. But I do feel like a timidity and an apologetic sense instead of like a boldness that says, no, I think a lot of parents should make the decisions we're making. I think I say like, I'm sorry that my kid will suffer for this and maybe other families will as well because they won't have my kid's presence there the way that you guys will have others.
Yeah.
I think something that we do, I think because I work in a church and Eric's a biblical counselor and works at our kids' Christian school, it can feel like our life is a bubble.
Yeah.
And so we've felt like conviction and felt the Spirit's discernment lead us or the Spirit lead us in discernment about exposing our kids to parts of like different worldviews and different parts of culture, but under our shepherding guide. And so it's like, we're going to watch this and we're going to talk about it, or we're going to go do this and we're going to talk about it. Like whether it's an art museum or a movie or whatever, rather than kind of leaning into the sheltered, because they're going to get exposed to all of that someday. And we want to teach them how to think about what the world is offering, which is a bunch of lies, you know, it's a bunch of terrible worldviews. And rather than just shelter them all together from it and then them not know how to think about it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But sometimes I can feel like shade from others.
Totally.
About like, wait, what? Do you feel that? Or do you feel like you would let them listen to that?
Do you think there's a difference in the boldness you would speak to your kids than the boldness you would speak to somebody else's kids and or some other parent about those exact choices where you'd be like, hey, Maven, this is why we're doing this. And if another parent asked you like, hey, why are you making that choice? You'd maybe be a little softer.
Maybe it might depend on the setting. Cause I do feel like I carry some weight. It might carry some weight cause we lead in our churches. So it might feel like it's not authoritative, but like, well, if Cassie's doing it, then maybe we should do it rather than like, we decided that this is our, you know, this is our prerogative as a family where like a kid who's in public school, they're going to get all of that because they're talking with their friends about what's listening to or what they're watching. And so then the parents are having to have different conversations about what their kids are exposed to. And, you know, does that make sense?
Yeah. It's the same concept. It's just working itself out differently.
Yeah.
I think in my heart, in my mind and kind of as I'm thinking through experiences, I think the bolder I am, sometimes I feel like I might be coming across judgmental and that I might actually have to be judgmental in some circumstances, but that if I'm bold in a decision we've made as a family or if I'm bold about my faith, other people interpret that as like condemnation, I guess is the right word. What I say is like a bold decision we've made, they hear condemnation. And what's ironic is I know a lot of people who would make very different decisions than me feel no timidity at all to communicate their convictions.
Sure.
I do not feel judged by them. I feel almost like impressed, like, wow, that's awesome. The way that they're able to be bold about that. I wish I was.
We talked about boldness being like a willingness to go against the grain, a non-conforming thing. And I think sometimes people seem bold and what we really mean is loud, but they feel like they're part of the majority. And so it's not requiring courage in that sense, if that makes sense, because they don't feel like they're going against the grain. Yeah. They feel like everyone supports me.
Yeah.
If they were scared that they were the only one who thought what they thought, I don't think they'd present it that way.
Yeah. That's a really helpful distinction.
Totally.
Between like loud and confident that I'm in the majority and in a safe position versus actual boldness that would be like, it doesn't matter what other people think.
Right.
This is what I believe is right.
Right. Like if you're sitting at Women's Bible Study proclaiming that scripture's authoritative,
And holds
all really
a safe place.
The keys for human flourishing.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't feel like, oh, I'm going to lose my job or friendship. You don't fear that, right? There's no fear because in that room, you are in the majority. And so it takes no boldness required to say that at church, right? And then if we go to another place with our neighbors or coworkers or whatever to say the same exact thing, I think the Bible's true. I think people would be really blessed by following what it says. There are places where that will feel like a dangerous thing to say.
Yeah.
And so that requires boldness. So it's the same statement.
Amen.
It's the difference between feeling like I'm in the majority and there'll be no pushback and no resistance and everyone's going to support me and pat me on the back versus this is a risk and I have something to lose, but I'm here to say that Jesus is better than the thing I might lose.
That's really helpful. I think what you're touching on is a struggle I see in my own life that I'm happy in some circumstances to be loud and call it boldness as if I'm doing what the Lord has asked me. And then in other circumstances where I'm quiet and going, but I'm bold somewhere else, you know, like I literally have for a job, I have a microphone every week where I tell a congregation, this is what is true. And in many ways, it's a very safe place to talk about the things we believe. And so it would seem bold, or people would call it brave, maybe even when we say things we believe that are countercultural. And while there is resistance to that, and there's certainly feedback where everybody doesn't love everything we believe, even within our own church, it's not the same as standing on a street corner or talking on a news program or standing up in front of a public school group of parents and saying, here's what's true and here's what we believe.
Sure.
And in order, I do think there's a turning in our culture where because we're in an increasingly post-Christian culture, it's going to be increasingly important that parents that are Christians are ready to be bold.
Yeah.
Not necessarily just the loudest voice in the room, but also like totally committed, unrelenting in what we believe.
Yeah.
Saying we're not compromising. This is what we believe. And it's because the Bible says it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that like we feel this timidity and almost this like sense of apology owed when we are saying something that's different. When I think about my own story and what brought me to Christ, it was not Christians who were like, hey, I'm so sorry, but if you want to come to church, you can't. Like there were, and I know this isn't everybody's story, but it required like Christians of real conviction in my life, telling me things that were true, telling me what was better than what I was choosing. No one was being mean to me. But no one was wavering either. And the girls in college that were like, hey, come to this Bible study. You got to come. Come on. You know, and you're coming to church. I'll pick you up. Required boldness that I wouldn't have gotten to those places without it. And I'm so grateful for that. But then sometimes we look and go, okay, who can I impact? Who can I share my faith with? Mm-hmm. And think I have to just constantly apologize or stay so quiet, not confront any lie that another person believes.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was, Chelsea, when you and I were public school teachers, but somebody really emboldened me by helping me understand, because I think there was some timidity in me to say like, well, what can I say in a public school as a public school teacher about what I believe? And somebody helped me see the difference between saying like, well, you tell kids that they have to be Christians and saying it's actually illegal for somebody to tell me that I can't, as a teacher, be a right. Christian. And so I have every right in America to be a public school teacher and a Christian.
Yeah.
You can't tell me not to be. And so anytime we were in class, you know, and getting a chance to talk about our faith, I would say things like, well, as a Christian, these are the things I believe. And you can say that. You could say that in any, almost any realm, as long as, you know, there are some restrictions on proselytizing, on telling people what they have to believe as in certain positions, in public positions. But I do think that emboldened me just to go, oh, what am I allowed to do? And that was helpful to me. But as a Christian too, I think about, well, we'll get to scripture here in a second. Let's talk about this as strength. So we talked a little bit, we danced around kind of our personal struggles on feeling where we're quiet, maybe where I'm equating boldness with loudness and needing to understand it better. Chelsea, it was a really helpful distinction. Where do you feel like this is going really well for your family? That you guys are making choices. You're like, this is different, and we're great with it. And I'm honored to talk to anybody who wants to ask me.
I mean, similar to you guys in terms of like our door is open. We just love to practice hospitality. We've had people live with us for most of our marriage. We have space in our home for hospitality, like for people to come and stay with us as they need to for seasons of life. And that has definitely people have asked for an explanation in our neighborhoods, you know, or they'll make assumptions or whatever and assume it's a little sister or, you know, whoever's staying with us, they'll make assumptions. But it always gives us an opportunity to kind of talk about our ministry of hospitality when people ask. And so I think that's something that's different. It's maybe not as like loud, but it's definitely something that marks our life. And I think people would say about us is that, and not even just people staying with us, but we love to host. We love to have people over. And it's not like fine dining every time. You know, sometimes it's just spaghetti or mac and cheese and corn dogs.
Here comes the food.
But, oh, I know, every time. but I think it's just like inviting people into our home, even if it's messy, has been one space for us where it's felt like that's different. That's counterculture. Yeah. That's not what the world is
doing. And you're unapologetic about being hospitable to people in need.
Yeah. We definitely have wanted to grow in evangelism. We, before the pandemic, made space on Monday nights to have neighbors over consistently to try and just get them in our home and have conversations and become more familial with our neighbors, and probably should pick that back up because it's been a little while since we've made it a concerted effort for that.
Listeners, we've got a new ad from one of our favorite sponsors, my friend Claire. Shout out to you over at Sky Ranch Camps. Sky Ranch has an exciting new offer to share with you. Now, we at the Family Discipleship Podcast, we love summer camp. We believe it can be an incredible discipleship milestone for your family, for your child. Whether your child is 6 or 16, they're going to have the best week ever getting outside, unplugging from technology, being surrounded by mentor-minded counselors that are crazy intentional about their safety, of course, but also their fun and spiritual growth. So we're grateful to partner with Sky Ranch in offering your child $200 off their first week of overnight camp. Just use the code SKYFAMILY, S-K-Y, FAMILY, when you register at skyranch.org. You're going to see a clear difference at Sky Ranch. Their programs are crazy fun with a powerful purpose. So if you haven't figured out what your kid's doing this summer, or if you haven't ever checked out the ministry of Sky Ranch, go to skyranch.org today. Again, $200 off with the code SKYFAMILY. Hey, listeners, we live in a world where anxiety, depression, and weariness seem to be the basic descriptors of our lives. For many of us, our calendars and our plates are overfull, yet our lives still lack joy. But it doesn't have to be this way. Jesus invites you to have true and abundant joy that's only found in Him. In John 15, Jesus reveals three very surprising pathways to finding this type of joy.
you can discover these pathways in the new book, Overflowing Joy, by author and Bible teacher Tara Dew. This is available at lifeway.com, and you can save 40% off with the code JOY40. Again, that's J-O-Y, the number 4, the number 0, at lifeway.com. The new book is Overflowing Joy by Tara Dew. Check it out.
Well, if I can brag on my wife for a minute, connected to what you're talking about, as we have a lot of neighborhood kids who come over to our home on a regular basis. And I think I've maybe mentioned this on the podcast before, but a lot of kids in our neighborhood are from countries, you know, they're refugee status families. They came from really difficult backgrounds in other countries, and now they live here in Dallas. And Chelsea is so bold in talking to these kids who just are coming over. They want to play chess on our front porch, or they want to get something to, you know, they want to drink a water. And Chelsea just starts asking them about like what they believe and who here is Muslim, who here is Christian, who, you know, what languages do you speak, and talks about our church or talks about our faith. And mm-hmm. She's so bold in that and unapologetic. And I'm just always inspired by it, always encouraged by it. Chelsea, I think it's something you're really, really strong in, is that you are not ashamed to say, this is what we believe. And I think I want everybody to know that, because you want everyone to know this gospel. I love seeing that in you.
Thanks, babe.
Yeah.
I think a concept that was really helpful for me, and I think for you too, you know, I don't work in a church, so I get to see more people that don't love Jesus. Yeah. But Adam and I used to do this apartment ministry that had a lot of accountability. And so they required you to keep track of how many times in a month you invited someone to church, how many times you shared the gospel. But the low level thing, this is the one that really made an impact on me. They want to know how many times you threw a faith flag. And what that was basically saying, when you meet somebody, throw it out there quickly that you're a person of faith. So if you meet someone and they say, why'd you move to Dallas? They say, well, I'm interviewing for a job. And you say, great, I'll pray for that. The difference between just saying, well, good luck, or I hope that goes well, but just show quickly that you're a person of faith so that they know that that door is open. Just be quick to mention church, be quick to mention that you pray, and throw it out there. And for a lot of people, that's enough for them to go, oh, okay. And maybe they'll come back to it later. And we saw that a lot in that apartment ministry too. But I've seen that just kind of all over my life. I just want to be quick to volunteer that I'm a person of faith, and then see what doors are open. And you can see quickly, sometimes people are really shut down. They do not want to talk about that. And I'm like, okay, I can respect that. But they know that I'm here, and that I obviously like to talk about God if they want to talk about it too.
But assuming on their behalf that they don't want to talk about God is not going to be to anybody's benefit.
Right.
Right.
And then you get awkwardly 6 months in, and they find out like, oh, wait, you're a Christian?
Right.
And then it's like, oh, that's a bummer. Because I would hope that I've lived my life in such a way that you would know that, but I've not been explicit.
So. Right. Yeah. So a good thing happens, and I say, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
God is good. Thank you, Lord. And that's right. That's right to say anyways, you know? So it's not like we're doing that for show.
Right.
That's right. We don't want to say, oh, what good fortune. We say, oh, thank you, Lord. That's right. Yeah. And so just when you build those things in daily, that becomes less scary. Mm-hmm. And you see kind of, like I said, who picks up on it and wants to know more, and who would like to be left alone.
Well, and I think too, for our kids, you know, as you're spiritually leading our family, Chelsea, I see them see that boldness in you, and it has a huge impact on them, not just in the conversations you have with others, but also the boldness you have in the conversations with our kids about why we do what we do, what we believe. There's no hesitation in you to attribute our decision-making as a family to what we believe the Bible says. Like, there's no hesitation in you. We're very bold about that with our kids. Cassie, I assume you and Eric are the same way, just saying, if this is a decision we're making and we can attribute it to God, or this is what has happened and we can praise God for it, or this is what's happened and we're going to pray to God in it. You're very bold and very quick to jump to those things, right? There's no timidity in you around those things in your home.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So let's turn the corner to scripture. What Bible verses come to mind for you guys, or what narratives come to mind for you when you think about boldness and when you think about what we're called to as followers of God? What comes to mind for you?
I think about David saying, look at these uncircumcised Philistines trying to defy the living God.
And you work that into everyday conversation. Yeah,
wherever I can throw it in, I'm like, can you believe what these uncircumcised Philistines are up to?
I would have taken you for more of like the midwives not killing Hebrew children. Like,
yeah,
you
but
know.
They lied. They were like too scared to tell the truth.
Yeah, but they were still like the whole, you know, reason Moses was rescued.
And yeah, I appreciate that about that.
But you're like, those dishonest lying women. That's what you think. That's why you read that story.
Those lying midwives.
Like, I would have never lied.
Yeah, I would have done it and not lied about it. And you would have been cast into the Nile.
Yeah. I think about Ruth going to Boaz on the threshing floor, how bold that must have been for her to be like, I'm just going to ask. I'm just going to put myself here and hope.
Yeah, put myself out there.
Yeah, my kinsman redeemer.
All the same ladies.
All the same exactly. Ladies.
Yeah, you think she was doing a little Beyonce dancing through the threshing floor?
She invented it. Okay.
I don't think he was ready for that jelly. So.
Oh my gosh.
Can you say that?
No, that's good. Okay, babe, yeah. No, keep going. What other Beyonce?
So bold. Thanks for what other
Halo? I don't know. There's something involving Halo. That sounds Christian.
Yeah. Right? And then there's like to the box to the left. Something yeah, and to
say,
the left.
Say my name, Boaz?
No.
Nope.
Wait.
Say my name. That's
no.
That was Destiny's Child.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yes, Beyonce.
So I'm on the right track.
Yeah. That was,
so
yeah.
Other than the Bible verses about Destiny's Child and Beyonce, what else sticks out to you guys about boldness?
Joseph for marrying Mary.
I feel
like that was
Definitely countercultural.
Yeah, for sure.
You're right.
The verse that always comes to mind for me is Proverbs 28:1. I think mm-hmm. about this verse a lot, which is that the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Mm. Which I think about like in a lot of decision making as a leader in a church and in a family, I feel like if I'm making a decision that is righteous, I can be bold about it. Mm-hmm. If I believe this is right, I don't have to be apologetic. Mm-hmm. And I don't have to fret and I don't have to worry. The reason it says the wicked flees when no one pursues is the idea is that like, if I did something wrong, I have to be always looking over my shoulder going, what if I get busted in this? Or what if it turns out poorly? Mm-hmm. Versus if I do the right thing, if I do what God has called me to, even if it doesn't go well for me, I can go, well, that's okay. I'm bold. And that's what the Lord asked me to do. Mm-hmm. Be that in the way I parent or the way we pastor. You know, I've just, if I do the right thing, what God has called right. I feel bold.
Yeah.
I'm emboldened.
I think we have tons of stories. And then in the New Testament, we do have some examples. Paul in prison is just like, isn't he wild? You know, it's like he'll be in prison for his faith. And he's like, great, I'll share with the prison guards. yeah. You know, like he's not going to bow down.
Yeah.
He's not going to. He's not going to waver. And he's not going to apologize either. And he's going, keep bringing the consequences, not afraid. So you love to see it. This verse comes from Colossians. This is Paul. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. Mm. That verse had a big impact on me when I was very new in my faith, just thinking about looking for doors. Mm-hmm. For the word, that God would open those up. And, you know, the obvious assumption is that then I would walk right through him, right? That I wouldn't just stand there or shy away. But he's saying, pray that God would open the door. And then he says that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak.
Yeah.
That we can speak clearly about the gospel, clearly about the truths of God. We're not responsible for saving anybody. We're not responsible for doing the work that the Holy Spirit does. But we can be unafraid, unabashed, unwavering, unwilling to bow down and look everywhere for God to open doors for the word.
Yeah. The one that comes to mind for me when I think about our family, you know, we have three sons. And so I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as a story that I want our kids to kind of live out. Not in the sense of I want them thrown into a fiery furnace, but that I want them to feel partnered together to say, even if everybody else bows down, even if everybody else around me does what they should not do, we'll stick together. We're going to do what we should do. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood against a culture that was hostile towards their religion in more than one instance in the book of Daniel, said, no, that's not what we practice. That's not what we believe. And even though we're going to be punished if we don't do it, we're not going to do it.
Yeah.
We're not going to bow down. We're not going to eat what they're going to eat. We're going to stay resolute. And I think about that story when I think about what I want to develop in our kids through our family discipleship. I want to develop a kind of camaraderie, a partnership, not just in them, but in the church. That's why God gave us the gift of the church, that even if the rest of the culture goes the other way, our church, we're going to be surrounded with people saying, yeah, but we're not going to do that. We're going to keep following God, regardless of the culture. And I want it specifically, of course, for our three boys. But I think about that story sometimes when I just think about why we read the Bible with our kids. It's not just because we're checking a box. It's not just because I'm a Christian. It's because I want to grow something in them. And part of what I want to grow in them is a boldness, is a confidence, is a resolute, uncompromising commitment to who God is and what he has called them to. I want that for them.
Yeah, John Piper says, you want to be a rebel, read your Bible every day.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing that.
Nobody's doing that. Right.
Hopefully a lot of people are.
I was
going
to say, but
you know what I mean? Like in the world at large. But I'm saying that's why we read the Bible every day with our children.
Right.
You're saying like, yeah, if you want to rebel, like this is it right here.
That is our rebellion against a culture that loves to hate our God and hate his people. Yeah. So yeah, people will look at that and say we're weird. And I said, great. I want to raise weird kids and I want to be a weird family. And I want our church to be weird in a community that if it's weird to follow God, then call me weird, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's all through. I love that you said, Paul is a great example of that to say, like, if you think I'm out of my mind, it's because I'm out of my mind for Christ then. Like there's, you can call me crazy, but if it's the right kind of crazy, I'm in for it. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to conform to the pattern of a world that doesn't follow our God.
Yeah. Yeah, like if we have people at our house, Adam's been great at this, of like if we have people at our house, regardless of what they believe or where they're at, if it's our time to read and pray and sing, they're always invited in.
Yeah.
They go, okay, now we're doing that. This is what our family does at this time and you're invited, you know, and so now we're going to read and pray and sing together. And that's, I hope, been a sweet ministry for people in our life.
And I hope it also helps our boys see like, this is not something mom and dad hide from the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And we just read, pray, and sing when it's just our family. And
yeah.
It's like, this is what we do.
Yeah.
And we're not afraid of that.
Yeah. We don't want to teach. We have to hide this if someone's around who doesn't like it.
Yep. In that same book, Daniel, you know, is told he's not allowed to pray anymore. And he goes up and he opens up his window and he prays right where he did before. Everybody can see him. And he's like, yeah, okay, you can tell me not to. I'm still going to do it. Because that's what my Lord has called me to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I, you know, we see in Jesus as well, the story we've covered with our son several times, the story of Zacchaeus, where Zacchaeus is up in a tree, Jesus asks him to come down. And you remember the whole crowd tells him, hey, you don't want to go to that guy's house. Don't go to his house. And Jesus does not say, oh, okay, I didn't realize this is one of those people that we shouldn't go to their house for. He says, in spite of everything the crowd is saying, he goes, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house tonight. And of course, salvation comes to Zacchaeus' house. Everything changes for Zacchaeus. But the picture there as well that we point out to our boys, you know, and this is a phrase we started using with our kids is, I'll ask them, like, do the Griffins, that's our last name, do the Griffins follow the crowd? And they know the answer is only if the crowd is following Jesus. Like, if the crowd is not following Jesus, we don't follow them. But if the crowd is, like, if we're in the church crowd and we're following Jesus, absolutely, that's what we're going to do. Let's be bold together. But if the crowd's not following Jesus, we're out. Yeah.
I was going to say, I think of Psalm 4 when the psalmist talks about resting while surrounded by his enemies. And just think about like sometimes being bold looks like choosing to rest and have Sabbath and have peace and not be frenetic. So like not be a workaholic, not be a, I don't even know what else. But I think about like setting aside a day and not following the patterns of this world and filling up our calendar and being preoccupied with everything else. But choosing to rest, even when we could be working, we could be sporting, if our kids are doing sports or whatever it is, be producing. Instead, we say, no, we trust God is going to provide. At the end of the day, it's his provision that we receive. So I just love that sometimes it's like a counter, it feels counterintuitive because it's like being bold, but it's also being at peace. It's not being crazy.
Yeah, it looks like doing nothing, but you're actually doing something.
Right. Yeah. And it's very countercultural.
It is. People and your family's Sabbath. Very good at being committed to that.
They try. Yeah.
It's awesome. Well, let's talk about so what for a second. If a parent came to you and said, hey, I'm really struggling with this. I feel timid about my faith or I feel apologetic when it comes to leading my kids differently or preparing them to be different. Like maybe the temptation for them is, I just really want my kid to fit in. I can't stand the idea of them being a social outcast to some extent because of what we believe or because of what we practice. And I'm really struggling with that. Or maybe they're struggling to convince their kid right now, like, hey, this is what our family does. And their kid is like, well, I hate that. And I don't want to be a part of what you believe. What kind of wisdom, what kind of advice would you give to a parent who's going, man, I really need help here. I want to be bold in what we believe, but it's really hard.
I'd say probably start with like why you feel called to what you're doing and like, and then presenting that before your children. So having a family meeting, depending on the ages of your kids, obviously, but you know, if it's your kids aren't wanting to go to church, but you guys are going to gather with the body of believers and sit under the authority of God's word and take communion and sing, and that's something that you feel called to do because you are, then it's explaining to your kids that that's what we're doing. And God's given us authority over our home. And he's called us to do this. And I'm sorry that that's hard for you, but we're doing it. We're going to do this. And this is why it's good for you. And maybe even speaking to, gosh, their own hesitancy. Like that's something that's shaped by their flesh in the world. And so like calling that to the table and saying, no, that's not right. We need to gather and learn and praise.
Yeah, I feel like there's enough evidence in our world for us to show our children that like following the path of the world does lead to destruction. It leads to hopelessness and devastation, and we have a better hope. And so we're going to keep choosing what's better, but also to relate to the child that I also think it's hard sometimes.
Totally.
You know, that I don't always skip into church because I'm going, I'm here because this is what God says is best for me. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just, it's obedience, right? To say like, this is good and I need to do it, but it's not necessarily what sounds the best to me right in this moment, right? And so we can relate to our kids on that. When it comes to like the fears of rejection, isolation, we need to remind people that as Christians, we are the least rejected. We have the best acceptance that we could hope for, right? Because we have an acceptance no one can take from us. We are the least isolated because we become part of the family of God. That even if I were to move somewhere, however I could feel alone, no matter where I go, now that I am a believer, I am part of the family of God.
Yeah.
So for people who become estranged from their families because of their faith, for people who their own family unit breaks up, they are part of the family of God. And so those fear, everyone has fears, right, that need to be surrendered. And ultimately, there's some sort of idolatry, right? There's something rivaling our affections, right? So if we're saying like, I want to follow Jesus really boldly and I want to chase after him. And at the same time, I'm scared it's going to cost me this. It's going to cost me popularity. It's going to cost me a friendship group that I'd like to be a part of. We just need to encourage one another in the body of Christ that Jesus is better. So whatever it is that's like rivaling him, it has to be laid down. It has to be laid at his feet and say, I'll actually bring this to you as a sacrifice and an offering to say, it does feel good to have friends. It does feel good to be in some sort of group that we hope to be included in, but I'll also lay it down, right? We lay our trophies down at the feet of Christ and say, really, I'm just an unworthy servant, happy to be here. And so when we start killing idols, it becomes easier the more you do it.
Amen.
You know,
I think too, like connected to what you're talking about, if you are struggling to be bold because you're afraid of what you look like in your kid's eyes, because you have a teenage kid who thinks you're going to be like a not fun parent or that you're ruining things for them, just remember, like you surrender that desire to be cool in their eyes to the Lord as well and say, well, I am not called to serve my kids at the expense of serving my God.
Right.
I serve my kids in line with how I serve my God. And sometimes serving your kids means telling them they're not going to do something they want to do and taking something from them that they want to keep. And that's there are versions of that. I'm not saying that's always going to be the case, but there are versions of that are righteous and good. And that's what parenting is. Parenting's making hard choices on behalf of your kids to say, well, God has taught me better than you know, and your heart is deceitful. And I understand why your heart wants something, but this is what we're going to do. And not saying it harshly or not in order to hurt and not in order to break somebody's heart, but to say, I'm so committed to this. I'm not willing to compromise this for you. And I want that heart that's bold enough to say, even in the face of resistance from my children, I'm resolute. Because as much as I want my kids to admire me, I'd rather do what's righteous.
Right. I think, too, that boldness looks different in different contexts. I know that we've got listeners really all over the place. But for those that are in the Bible Belt, it might feel like you're not having to be very bold. And I just wonder if you really ask yourself, if you sat down with your spouse or with your community and said, you know, where are we being bold? Where is it? Where is following Jesus requiring courage of us? And you don't see it, then it might mean you're either like conforming to your culture's version of religion. That's not really, because we've seen the church not follow Jesus before. And then, or it might just be you're in that bubble that I talked about earlier where it's like we've so insulated our life from the world that we don't even know how to be in it. And it doesn't require courage from us because we've kind of padded ourselves with other Christians.
I've eliminated any person that might oppose my view.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I would say the challenge would be like, it's time to step out of that, or it's time to figure out, okay, what is God calling us to then? Because I don't know that there's ever a scenario where we should be walking, like living a life that doesn't require some measure of boldness or courage.
Right. So. No, I think that the Bible would call us to that. Christ has called us to that.
Yep.
To be bold. And, you know, Paul would even say the reason we are so bold, the reason he was so bold is because of what we believe. We believe that victory cannot be taken away from the Christian. And I am a Christian. Nobody can take my victory away because it is secure in Christ. And therefore, I'm very bold. There's nothing. What can man do to me, right?
Yeah.
What can man do to me?
Nothing.
Nothing. Well, thanks for listening, friends. If you think it's as important as we do to disciple our families, please help us out by giving us a great review wherever you listen to podcasts. Visit one of our sponsors and share this episode with one of your friends. I hope you'll check out the new book, The Boy Who Was Bold, released in October 2023 from B&H Kids. You can get it anywhere that you buy books. And if you want to keep up with us or join the conversation, you can follow the Family Discipleship Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. All right, listeners, we love you. We'll talk to you again next week.